Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. An eastern South Dakota farm with 1.3 million egg-laying chickens has been infected with H5 bird flu virus. Dakota Layers accounts for nearly half of South Dakota's 2.7 million egg-laying chickens. Officials had not confirmed yet Thursday whether it was the H5N2 strain. If so, then the virus will have led to the deaths of more than 33 million chickens and turkeys in the Midwest. Private analytical firm Informa Economics thinks farmers will plant 87.2 million acres of soybeans this spring. That's 2.55 million acres more than USDA forecast in the March prospective plantings report. For corn, Informa estimates that producers will plant 88.7 million acres. That's down from USDA's March estimate of 89.2 million acres of corn. Farmland prices fell in much of the U.S. Midwest and Great Plains during the first quarter. The value of irrigated farmland in the Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City decreased 2.1%. That includes parts of Kansas, Nebraska, Colorado, and other big farm states. Cropland prices also lost ground in the St. Louis Feds District, which includes parts of Illinois, Kentucky, and Arkansas. Prices for quality farmland fell 2.5% in the first quarter. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading 18,210. It's up 8 points. The NASDAQ, 4498, up 8.25. The S&P 500 is 2118, and it is up 1 point.
Support for this agricultural weather forecast on WILL comes from the Friends of WILL and from Busey. Whether it's quickly approaching or many years away, Busey Wealth Management provides retirement solutions tailored to one's specific needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
A favorable mix of weather will occur across the Midwest as we move forward through the weekend. Some periods of rain and some sunshine will occur, and temperatures are going to be warm enough to stimulate good drying conditions between rain events, and crop development will likely advance rather aggressively across the region as well. It's a very good springtime situation for the most part, but there is some concern about cold air up to the north in the northern U.S. plains and portions of Canada's prairies. These areas may be encountering temperatures well below freezing this particular weekend, and because of all the earlier than normal plant and more advanced state of crop development, a lot of crops could be damaged by temperatures falling into the middle and upper 20s across portions of Canada's prairies and across the northern U.S. plains. Most of this cold will stay outside of the U.S. Midwest, however. Some corn and soybeans could be impacted in North Dakota, Manitoba, and portions of northern Minnesota, but right now it does not look like there'll be a very serious problem in the states. For the most part, the heart of the Midwest is going to be seeing ideal weather. As I mentioned before, a good mix of conditions will likely take place. We will be seeing periods of rainfall coming and going across the region over the next week, and it will be beneficial for the most part, but somewhat disruptive also for the planting progress across parts of the region. The first wave of precipitation of significance will be associated with a deepening low-pressure system in the northern plains, so it will be in place here later this afternoon and over the night and into the day on Saturday. Scattered showers and a few thunderstorms will be possible in quite a few locations across the western and southern portions of the Midwest. And as we move on into the afternoon on Saturday, a lot of the precipitation will become a little bit more enhanced across the western portions of the Corn Belt from Kansas into parts of the Dakotas and Minnesota. And as we go from Saturday night into Sunday morning, the storms will begin to work their way towards the Mississippi River. And it will cross over the Mississippi River during the day on Sunday, but because of the low pressure system's orientation, A lot of the rain of significance will be up in parts of Canada rather than in the U.S. Midwest. The frontal boundary will go ahead and work its way through the Midwest, but it'll become what we call an occluded front, and that will likely limit some of the temperature contrasts across the frontal boundary, and therefore rainfall intensity is not likely to be all that impressive as it pushes through the heart of the Midwest. Disruptions to fieldwork will occur, but the rain totals themselves will not be all that impressive. We'll end up with totals in the eastern Midwest running from maybe 1/1500ths of an inch upwards to 3/4 of an inch in some cases, and there's always going to be a chance for an isolated amount of getting over an inch. But by far the most significant rains, at least as far as relative to importance to crops, will be in the northern U.S. plains, where some of the areas that have been driest for the longest period of time will see further relief from that dry bias. Portions of the Dakotas, Montana, and Minnesota will all be included in some of the better rainfall totals that could run from anywhere 3/4 of an inch upwards to a couple of inches, perhaps. Well, most of the temperatures across the Midwest through the weekend are going to be pleasant as well. We'll look for high temperatures today, tomorrow, and Sunday, running in the upper 70s and 80s across a big part of the Midwest. Those will be mostly lower 80s, but it will still be pleasant enough that we'll see a good stimulus for crop development. In contrast to that, the temperatures in the northwestern Corn Belt will eventually fall off into the upper 40s and 50s. That will probably take place on Monday, and some of that cool air will work its way through the Midwest Tuesday and Wednesday of next week, when highs will be in the 50s and 60s in the north and 60s to around 70 degrees in the south. The cool bias will not bring any kind of threatening cold at night, but we will see low temperatures slipping back into some upper 30s and 40s across the northern portions of the region as we get close to the middle part of next week. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather forecast on WILL comes from the Friends of WILL. Thank you. And from Busey, with more than 145 years of strength and service in our communities. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter, July wheat is 5.43 1/2 up a quarter. Soft July, 5.11 1/2 down 2 3/4. July corn, 3.67 down 1. September, 3.73 3/4 down 3/4. December, 3.84 down 3/4. July soybeans, 9.57 unchanged. September, 9.40 1/2 up a quarter. November, 9.37 3/4 up 3/4. July soybean meal is 3.03 20 up a dollar. July soybean oil is $33.19. It's down 15 cents. June live cattle, 153.60, now 57.5, now 60 57.5 again, down 22.5. May feeders, 219.65, up 40. And June lean hogs are 82.82 1/2. They're down 112.5. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing. And he is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave.
So what does yesterday's big, big rally in wheat mean overall for grains?
Well, I think it definitely is helpful. I think it helps stabilize the corn, if nothing else. Maybe give it a little bit of ump to the upside. It was kind of interesting that corn could only rally 6 cents on a 33-cent higher wheat market. I think it was, it was coming. We had a big short in the wheat market. We covered, what's amazing to me is we covered about 10% of the fund short in one day yesterday, coming back off. I think they'll be fighting to keep it from rallying here. But I think overall it maybe shows us that we've put a bottom in there on the wheat. And we probably on corn, the difference between corn and wheat is that we've got the cash grain out here to sell against. Whenever we get rallies on the corn, we're going to see cash selling. How quickly that gets sold, I think, will be important. But we could push back down and test the low end of the range here on corn again. I don't think that's out of the possibility. We also have a crush report out here at 11 o'clock on the bean side of things. I think that's going to be important. It's interesting there that the trade's expecting, we've been running about 6 million a month more crush than a year ago, and their expectations, according to the survey, is about 16 or 17 million more than a year ago on today's number. So it may be easy for the trade to be disappointed on the bean crush, I guess, even though it's going to be probably at a record number for the month.
Yeah, they're looking for some stout production. We'll get those numbers this morning from NOPA at 10 o'clock. Do you think that corn has a shot in the D's into the 390s?
I mean, I think, yeah, I don't think you could you certainly can't rule that out. I think we got a long season ahead of us. The question right now is probably if we get some kind of a positive price fundamental, does it come in the supply side, crop weather, or does it come on the demand side? And I think the difference between the two is the supply side problems probably affect the market quicker. Demand probably takes a little bit longer.
I think the difference between corn and soybeans is that the beans are still vulnerable to the downside because of the production potential if you look at Informa's numbers.
Yeah, I think that's true. They came out with about 2.5 million more acres than the USDA here on their estimates yesterday. One positive thing, though, on the beans, if you look at this crush report this morning, our oil stocks are still really low compared to a year ago. So the oil does give us some support underneath the market there, I think.
Thank you much, Bill.
Yep.
That's Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace, July corn, 367 down one, September, 373 and three quarters, down three quarters, December, 384 down three quarters, July beans, 957 and a quarter, up a quarter, November, 937 and three quarters, up three quarters. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana.